The Nerdcast Empire is on the air. Welcome to another edition of the Nerdcast News Report for Saturday, May the 3rd, 2025. I am Matt in the studio. Great to have you along with us. We are back, and we've got maybe not some great news to talk about today, but some news nonetheless, as we're going to be talking about some job cuts at WWE. Also, another update on the whole piracy thing that is involved in not just the anime world, but maybe in the media world in general, as you know, we've talked about it before. It's kind of a shell game. It's a whack-a-mole. Once you go after something else pops up. So that this feels like that something else that has popped up, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And then we'll wrap things up with the Empire Express here on this Saturday morning. Joining me in studio, as always, on this Saturday morning is Mike. Mike, how's it going?
Oh, man, it's good to be back. I feel like we haven't talked news in a while. Things are going pretty well. Finally getting into the spring anime season. Pretty excited about that. I feel like there aren't as many shows I want to follow this season as there were in the winter, but I have caught on to the first three episodes of Fire Force. Opening and ending are pretty lackluster, but the show seems to be pretty good so far. But, yeah, got a few stories to talk about today. Kind of excited to get into that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not, like I said, the most thrilling stories, but an important stories nonetheless. And you mentioned it's been a while since we've been back. Well, we're about to have another hiatus on the news front because we've got tennis on Monday, so we won't be with you on Monday. And the next weekend is Sonic Temple. So our news podcast will be back a week tentatively a week from Monday, but check local listings. We're going to probably move that podcast back into the evening now, but we'll let you know on that front. But that will be a review of Sonic Temple when we get around to that next news podcast. So that'll be a very heavy portion of that. And we'll preview Sonic Temple coming up tomorrow night on our latest edition of the Hard Rock Empire, which will come your way at 7 p.m. Eastern time. That'll be a big part of our news stories tomorrow as we go through some of the bands that Mike's excited to see. Obviously, there's 4 days worth of music, so a lot of stuff. And Mike's been checking out some of the bands that maybe he hasn't been familiar with, so he'll be able to kind of give you a little bit of a preview of what to expect. And, hopefully the weather is a little better than it's been this weekend, because it's been pretty dreary and it would not be a great festival situation if it was this rainy next weekend. So maybe the rain this weekend will lead to a really nice weekend for Sonic Temple coming up starting on Thursday. But we've got some other news headlines to get to today, so we will jump right in. And obviously the big one, at least in the sphere that we cover, was the news about layoffs at WWE yesterday. And we don't know whether this is it, because the company doesn't announce these things. So typically it's up to people to kind of announce them themselves, or for reporters to get wind of them and put them out. So it is entirely possible. And if it's the way it typically goes with our news podcast, there'll be some big name that will be announced after we get done recording this morning. But we're going to start with the main roster talents that were let go. And, when you take a look at the list, obviously to me, there's a couple names that really jump out, but real quickly, the ones we know of so far: Shayna Baszler, Braun Strowman, Dakota Kai, Caden Carter, Katana Chance, I've left the company, have been let go by the company. They'll have 90-day non-competes, as is typical with main roster contracts. The one that jumps out there is Braun Strowman. Not to say that all of them don't suck for them, all have had moments of success on the main roster. But when you look at what Strowman has done, obviously he's been let go before, he was brought back. He was very much instrumental in getting Bronson Reed and Jacob Fatu over. Obviously, Reed got hurt and has been out, and he'll hopefully be back soon. But, that one just feels like a couple of things. And I know you'll get to one where, obviously we don't know what he was making from a pay standpoint. But the other side to it, too, is the modern, for all the things that modern WWE has done, and modern being the post-Vince era, the one thing that is still a little perplexing is they don't seem to know how to book big guys in a consistent way to give them stories that continue to get them on television, because guys like Omos, who is, as far as we know, still with the company, was brought back from Noah, and then they've done nothing with
haven't
him.
Haven't seen him.
He's in witness protection. And Strowman, who gets a huge pop every time his music plays, has been, as far as we can tell, at least on camera, a company guy, willing to put people over, willing to get guys over. That's just one to me that I can't really make a lot of sense of. What are your thoughts specifically on Strowman? But then I guess we can start getting into some of the other talent as well.
Yeah, kind of looking at that first run of names in the list, Braun Strowman gets a larger reaction from the crowd than the rest of them combined. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no question that he's an attraction. I wonder, like I mentioned, how much money he was making, and also physically how he's doing, because, you know, he's a big dude, and sometimes when you see him running around the ring, he looks like maybe his legs aren't quite where they need to be, or aren't doing all that well. But yeah, I just, they fairly recently had him help get over to, you know, stars that at least feels like Triple H has really, really high opinions of, between Reed and Fatu. I just don't know if there wasn't anyone left for him to put over, so they just thought, well, I guess we're done with you. I really don't know. It is one of the strange ones.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense. Again, you don't know, obviously with none of these names, we don't know the whole story. We only know what we see on television. Yeah. So that is a big part of it. Shayna Baszler, from just a talent standpoint, is just mind-boggling, because of the four horsewomen, the MMA version,
yeah,
she by far was the one that got the pro wrestling thing. She was great in NXT.
Yeah.
And then Vince came up and basically made a joke out of her the first week she was up, and I don't think she ever recovered from that. And, you know, we've seen her at Bloodsport. She's been great there. Like, there's clearly a role for her and what she can do. And she's another one that just the company never figured out how to make her that same killer on the main roster that she was in NXT, and never really even gave her the chance to revisit that character. So it's a little perplexing, just because she showed, at least on the NXT level, that she could get over and get other people over.
Yeah, I never really understood why they didn't go more all in on creating kind of that real fighter MMA like faction, essentially give them a mouthpiece, because I mean, if there is one knock on Baszler, it's probably the mic work. But yeah, I think some of these, especially with the women, timing was a real detriment to a lot of them, where they just came up at the wrong time, you know, were never truly able to kind of establish themselves in the minds of the crowd because of how they were handled initially. I think you see how easy it is for some of them to get over that are the more recent signings, and you just think, why wasn't it that easy for the rest of them? I don't know. There might be some things missing for some of them, maybe health, maybe mic skills, but I just feel like the most recent crop of new WWE wrestlers, you look at Tiffany Stratton, who was obviously a homegrown talent, and then someone like Stephanie Vaquer, who just shows up as an established act already and is just immediately super over. Like, they haven't been able to do that with anyone up until that point. I don't know, but I kind of understand that when you feel like you've tried all these things, or maybe you just don't think there's anything to try, there's no reason to keep them around.
It's a little strange, though, with some. I mean, you got Dakota Kai, who obviously has had some injury issues, but has always been a good soldier and kind of, you know, did whatever was needed. And Carter and Chance, who, again, just weren't on television. Like, you know, yeah, they would occasionally be on TV, would get a pretty good reaction because of kind of the high flying nature of the stuff they did. You know, we've seen talents go back to NXT and have a run. I mean, I think it did Finn Balor a lot of good to go back down there. There are several. It's a little strange that they wouldn't have tried that route with some of these people to try to see, like, hey, let's see if we can juice them back up, because clearly, you know, they were damaged goods because of Vince when they got up here and just not knowing what to do with them. And again, you know, we're talking women's tag teams. Kai was involved in a tag team. Baszler was kind of involved in a group. You know, Carter and Chance. And again, the women's tag division has just been so poorly handled, really, from the word go.
Yeah.
That's another one where it's like, you know, you could have put them on NXT. You could have put the tag titles on NXT. You could have actually given them a chance, because NXT has proven that they can book their women. They have so many women over on the NXT level. For whatever reason, they just don't do the same job getting a lot of those same people over when they get to the main roster level.
Yeah, exactly. And again, you speak to there being so many women on NXT. I think that's part of it too, is that you have so many of them. Eventually they have to go somewhere and you kind of have to make a spot for them.
Yeah, I mean, potentially. Obviously, we're going to talk about some that they're not making a spot for because they have departed the company. Some that you thought looked like they were going to have a chance to move up. And, you know, we can kind of get to that next, because that's the second piece of this equation is also NXT talents let go. You had, as of now, and again, NXT probably even more so than the main roster talents. We may still see some releases trickle out on the NXT level, but Gigi Dolan, Cora Jade, Gallus, Jakara Jackson, Eddie Thorpe, Javier Bernal, Oro Mensah, Riley Osborne, the ones announced so far. And obviously, the name that jumps out there is Gallus, because they literally helped The Rock train for WrestleMania 40. You thought at that point, before we knew The Rock was crazy and would just suggest things and then just disappear or just, you know, screw up storylines, you just thought, well, Gallus is going to come up with The Rock and they're going to be his muscle. And, you know, this is going to go great for them. And
I can't imagine how they felt throughout all of this.
Yes. Like, because, I mean, they literally disappeared from NXT television. I think they have a short stint on Evolve coming up that has already been taped before they depart the company. But it's just, you know, those are the ones where it's like, yeah, I mean, You understand the business side of it. You understand that they've got too many people. All that stuff, the logical side of it is all there. But there's also some of the, like, I don't understand, you know, how opinions on people can change so quickly, where it's like, again, Gallus seemed like one that was an obvious choice to move up, never got the opportunity. Jakara Jackson did wrestle on the main roster, you know, with Lash Legend, but clearly they see Lash Legend as a singles attraction. So not only did they break up Metaphor, which also allowed them to release Oro Mensah, again, another guy who, yeah, probably is a singles guy, probably wasn't going to get over, but was certainly very entertaining in the Metaphor group. But clearly that, you know, they thought Lash Legend needed to be by herself. So they just released Jakara Jackson. And, you know, that's, I think, where I know the talent, I'm sure, is perplexed, and some fans probably too, where it's just like, you know, you've had these people up. I mean, Gigi Dolan was just sitting in the crowd on Raw like 2 or 3 weeks ago with Tatum Paxley. It looked like at the very least they were going to be a tag team for a little while.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I think those are the things where it doesn't compute, because you do feel like 1 minute they've got plans for these people and something new is starting. And then it's like, well, now it's over. And how many of these guys that are on this list were literally on the graphic for the Battle Royal that's coming up Tuesday night on NXT to determine a number one contender? Like, so even in NXT, which we've seen before, they clearly still had plans to use these guys, and now they're going to have to pivot and try something else. That's the part of it, I think, that is still a little perplexing, that there's clearly not, even with the improved communication from the main roster to NXT to Evolve to whatever, there's still some gaps in there that still don't really make a lot of sense.
Well, I think there's probably still somebody who is at the top saying, hey, we need to cut X amount of dollars. And I think sometimes that can supersede any type of potential creative plans you have moving forward. I also wonder, too, when you look at some of the names and see that they have been appearing on Evolve, how many of these maybe just requested a release? Because if you've been on NXT or Raw or SmackDown, and then next thing you know, they're booking you for Evolve tapings, what does that make you think about your future with the company to begin with?
Yeah, probably not good. I mean, you know, you hope, if you're naive about the business, that, oh, if I do the good company thing and I go down there and help these developmental talents, like, you know,
I mean, Gallus, Bernal, Oro Mensah, Riley Osborne, all dudes that just, at one time seemed to be pretty important to NXT, and then they're on Evolve.
And even more recently than all those people, Eddie Thorpe. Thorpe was just in a title picture, the main title picture at NXT. And he's one that it's pretty clear they didn't know what to do with. Obviously, he had a lot of success coming through the New Japan system. WWE signed him, which was kind of a big deal. And, you know, they gave him the DJ gimmick. They gave him the Native American gimmick, which isn't a gimmick. That's part of his life. But that was clearly what they were leaning into. And then whatever this new character was, which was, I'm not even really sure what he was going for this third time. But for whatever reason, it just didn't work. And, you know, he's another one that's like literally a month ago, you were having him in the world title picture. And now he's out of a job. And, and that, again, that's that to me, even more so than the money side of it, the logic that says you just got too many people. That's where it's like somebody like Gallus, I get, because they haven't been on television. Like, clearly you didn't have plans for them for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't know what they were missing, but clearly, it was clear they were not on TV. They were not in plans. But like when you have somebody that's literally wrestling for your main developmental title a month ago and now he's gone, like that's the one that's a little harder to understand.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll never really know the internal side of this, what led to some of these decisions, or like I mentioned, if some of them just really wanted out because they felt like they didn't have a future. But I think when you're WWE, I think they kind of want to frame it as they're no different than like a major sports organization. And you think the average NFL career is what, like 3 years long. Mm. So in some of these instances, it's like they wrestled for WWE for X amount of years. That we should be celebrating that they got that far.
Sure. And I'm sure that's how they would spin it. I mean, that's, you know,
and to some degree it's true. Cause I mean, you only have so many spots that you can really fill, and there's always going to be new people coming up that they're developing. So it's just, it's unfortunate, but I think it's always going to be a reality.
Yeah. It's a shame again, because a lot of these people were really popular with the crowds that when they got the chance, and some of them just didn't get the chance in the same way that some of the other people have recently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll see where a lot of them turn up, obviously, again, because there are only so many spots in other places, you know.
Yeah.
Was TNA an option? Is New Japan an option? Is AEW an option? We'll see. And, you know, some of them could circle back around and end up back in WWE. We've seen that a few times that people have departed and kind of floated around out there for a little while. And then WWE decides they want to bring them back in, which is always kind of strange, too. It's like, oh, you don't want me, and now you want me back again. And, you know, that's kind of strange, especially for some that have been kind of yo-yoed multiple times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it's tough. You know, some of these people, like I said, have been there a while, and, you know, you get, again, the dollars and cents side of it to some degree, but there is an emotional attachment a lot of these people have with these wrestlers, and certainly, you hope the best that a lot of them will land on their feet for those who do want to continue to do it. And we'll see, you know, kind of where it goes from here. Obviously, again, WWE's continuing to expand. I did see one comment, which I thought was pretty interesting. I think it was Lucha Blog posted that, you know, he kind of always assumed like Cruz del Toro would, if he ever got released, would end up in AAA again. And now he's probably didn't get released because he's going to be able to wrestle for AAA now as part of the WWE acquisition. So you do wonder how many people kept their jobs because of recent acquisitions that have now made them more valuable to the company than some of these other talents that got let go.
Yeah.
It's a interesting situation for sure. And again, I have a feeling that these are probably not, it's probably not the complete list. These also tend to happen over several days and not just like a one day and gone. And it was kind of tipped off because we had some corporate layoffs earlier in the week. And usually that's the first sign when you start seeing some of the office workers get let go, that clearly there's a time to downsize and or reorganize, I guess is technically the corporate term for it. But it's not, you know, someone who's been laid off, it's definitely not pleasant. I'm glad I don't work in an industry where that stuff's made public and is broadcast everywhere. But I have a feeling a lot of this talent will land on their feet, and we'll be seeing them pop up again, whether in 30 days or 90 days.
Now, on the other hand, having been in a company that has done numerous reorganizations over the years, it would also be nice to have social media get outraged when my coworkers get let go.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, the other side of that, too, is there is the you know, I can't remember the term for it, but you know, when you're someone who survives these type of cuts, you
survivor guilt.
Yeah. Because there's that part too. And unfortunately, because again, all this is very public and that the other side to it too, that's the uglier side is the, why didn't this person get let go? Why did they keep this person and let this person go? Or cause I mean, it's not hard. You can go on social media and I think without even mentioning specific names, I think off the top of your head, you can come up with 5 to 10 immediately that if you go search their names on X or on wherever, you're going to see posts complaining about they got let go and this, they got kept, other people got let go. And that can't be easy either. It's like,
I felt that way in my job over the years, both as far as people that they've kept that I didn't know why they kept. And I'm sure people felt that way about me when people I worked with got let go. It's just, it's not pretty.
Yeah. But like you said, thankfully your name doesn't show up on X trending. Yeah. Or it's like, ah, you know, they kept him and then let other people go. But, certainly best of luck to all those, who did get let go. And obviously the good side to it too is, you know, there is more opportunity out there for wrestling than there's ever been, especially at the higher levels for good paying jobs. And as much as AEW frustrates you because they could be so much better than what they are, at least they are an option, which does allow a lot of these people to find good employment soon, hopefully. So we'll keep an update on that and we'll pass along any additional names that we hear as we move forward. One other quick news story today, just to try to find something that was maybe not, totally depressing, although certainly I would say this falls into the category of interesting. And it's a story about a new AI powered web browser that is leading people to illegal content, that is leading people to piracy. The web browser is called Seeky, SEEKEE. And basically, from what it reads in this article, that it is, if you search for anime on there, it is going to literally take you to torrents of illegal anime. It does not bring up, or at least very rarely brings up, legal anime. And we've talked about on this podcast many, many times the ongoing battle to combat piracy. They've shut down sites. They've requested to go after websites in other countries. They've sued people, all this other stuff. Like, I mean, it is, they've done everything that they can do. They're certainly making a good faith effort. But again, the pirates stay ahead of the people that are trying to chase them down. And this feels like another avenue that has popped up that we'll see how long it takes for them to shut this down. But, you know, when you mentioned you read about this, and I'll post the link of the story. This doesn't sound like the most up and up web browser. I wouldn't go run out and download this thing, which you cannot do on Google and Apple stores. It's not on there. You have to go look for it. But this definitely sounds a little sketchy.
Now, as of the article, and I don't know if it's changed, it actually is still available on the iOS App Store, not on Google Play, but
which is kind of weird. Usually that's the other way around. Yeah, Google's like, just like, whatever. Like,
we'll let everything on there. But no, I can only assume it's because in some weird ways they're kind of twisting what Google does.
Yeah.
It's like Google prioritizes what they show you too. So basically this thing's just doing the same thing, only its priorities are set toward illegal streaming content as opposed to Google approved search results or ways to keep you on Google as opposed to sending you to other websites. Yeah. So it's kind of funny in a way, but yeah, I mean, obviously I don't condone piracy, but I think at the same time, the legal means are so bad at what they're doing right now. And they own every story that comes out seems to be them getting worse, charging more, removing features, just generally not doing a very good job at presenting to the anime fans an unaltered, digestible version of what they want. Like they always seem to overreach or take away what you've already been paying for. I mean, there was a story a while back about Crunchyroll, like lowering the video quality on the shows, just like things like that aren't necessary to do. But especially when you're talking about a subscription service that you're charging more and more for as we go. And not to mention just how now so many of the shows are getting spread out among so many different streaming sites. Like, yeah. I was looking at Crunchyroll for spring, and it's like, there were a couple shows I might be interested in, but then I started thinking, like, wait, I think several of the shows I might actually want to watch aren't even on here. Like, they're over on Netflix or Amazon Prime or, you know, High Dive potentially. They're giving people who are already going to be prone to piracy more and more reasons to do it. What worries me about this one, though, is when you go down on the CBR article about it, it talks about the permissions that you grant this add-on, essentially. Like, the AI-powered app gains access to users' information, which includes, quote, advertising IDs, cookies, identifiers, IP addresses, social media IDs, and profile pictures, IMEI, OAID, GAID numbers. I'm not even sure what all of those are. IMSI numbers, MAC addresses, serial numbers, among other details. I'm already inclined to think most apps over ask for permissions to begin with, but even among those, this seems pretty serious. And as the battle continues, you see stories about them wanting to pass laws where they can basically go after the internet service providers for giving you access to illegal material. I don't see this ending well for anybody, and it would actually give me a lot of pause at this point to even pursue anything illegal or pirated now.
Yeah, first things first, if you are going to go down this road, you'd better be using a VPN.
Yeah.
You better have at least one layer of protection between you and this. Number two, I would wager that there are a lot of websites that request most of those things that doesn't get advertised, because we don't talk about that kind of stuff very often, but I bet a lot of your social media sites, I bet, you know, Google, I bet, you know, Amazon, they're storing all this stuff as well. Maybe not to this degree, because certainly that is an extensive list of things that are out there. But you're 100% right about the spreading out of the anime industry driving people back to piracy. It's a completely different reason than why when I used to, torrent episodes back in the mid 2000s, that was mostly a case that stuff wasn't coming over here. Or if it did, it was 3 or 4 years after it aired in Japan. And, it's kind of the whole live sports theory. Like, I don't want to watch a sport 3 days later because everybody online's already talked about it. The same thing was true back then for anime. Now you had chat boards. Now you had messaging. People were watching it as it was coming out. You didn't want to get left behind because, 3 years later, it's not the same excitement. Now it's completely different in that it's everywhere. And I think, I know you have that master spreadsheet that tracks all the episodes you've watched. If you're not doing it, one thing I would suggest adding to that spreadsheet, which would be very fascinating, is the cost of what it costs you to watch all the shows you watched every year.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Because I think as you go forward, as you have to have more services, that number is going to continue to go up every year, and granted, we all have Amazon Prime, or at least a lot of us do. You have Netflix, for several reasons, but obviously WWE is certainly among them, High Dive and Crunchyroll. There are some other services out there that have anime as well that maybe you're not specifically watching it on right now, but you could be I think seeing what that cost of anime is. And that's not even buying physical copies. That's literally to watch it streaming. You're not getting anything out of it other than the opportunity to watch these shows. It's becoming harder and harder to swallow. And this is not just an anime issue. Like, this is an entertainment issue. Like, they're the sports world, more fragmented, more streaming outlets as the money continues, because live sports is kind of the last bastion of live television, because it's the one thing is not scripted. It's hopefully, except maybe the NBA playoffs, but it's out there. You can watch it live. It's going to draw people in. So there's still so much money. And I mean, it's why, the report came out, to kind of jump back to WWE, that one of the analysts that do the big like predictions on what's going to happen is predicting that, Netflix is going to end up with WWE Network for somewhere in the neighborhood of $350 to $400 million a year in whatever the new deal is going to be when that expires next year. So it's like these companies that do live events are just printing money at this point, because it's the last thing that gets everybody in front of the television. Yeah. If you want to watch a TV show and I want to watch a TV show, we don't have to even watch it the same way. I could watch it live. You could shotgun the whole thing on whatever the streaming service is that that network offers. Like, this is it. And, you know, for anime, it's become a real problem. Like you said, the quality of what they provide isn't what it is. You don't typically get physical releases at the end of it. Or if you do, they're fewer and farther between than they used to be. Because that's the thing is, you know, back when we got into really being anime fans to the point where we were like buying releases, you could, anything that got licensed and brought over here pretty much is going to get a physical release of some kind. It might've been super expensive.
In a lot of cases, that was the way it was given to people.
Like
there wasn't a streaming service that they could fall back on.
Right. And so you got something that at the very least, like I can go in there and pop in my DVDs of Slayers that I bought from Suncoast Music, or Suncoast Movies, and I can still watch them. Like they're still there. Like, you know, the streaming, I mean, there are so many shows right now that we'll see on CBR probably once a month. This show's not streaming anywhere anymore. Like, well, heck, like if I was paying to stream that show, now I can't even watch it. Like,
I think the big one that people still talk about is Toradora.
Yeah.
The English dub of it getting removed off Crunchyroll, I think it was. Like, that was a great dub and just a legendary show. And to think that you're now resigned to, I think maybe Amazon has the subtitle version of it that you can watch, but that's really where it is.
Now you have to pirate it because I think it's also out of print.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't even, you know, go pick it up. There's, again, when you start taking options away from people, you're going to turn to these type of other options. And some of them are pretty sketchy, as they always have been.
Yeah.
Like, you've always been taking your life into your hands to torrent music or shows. And now this is just another avenue and you're driving more people there. And the thing is now is when the piracy was a real problem in the mid 2000s, you had the solution, which was, we are going to start streaming it ourselves. We are going to give it to you within a day or two of it airing in Japan.
Yeah.
And we're still giving you the physical releases. Where's the turn back point now? If you continue to drive people to piracy because it's everywhere, it's on 8 different streaming services, the quality's not as good, what are you going to do to get those people back? Because once they go there this time, short of finding a way to finally get rid of all the pirates, there's no incentive for them to come back and support the industry.
Well, I think it's really the worst case scenario where you've now trained people to be okay with not owning it.
Yeah.
Once you've trained people to not be okay with, or to be okay with not owning it, there's no difference now between streaming it legally and illegally.
Yeah.
Like the reason to be legit back in the day was because you had the physical copy of it. You had something that you could claim ownership of, as opposed to just watching it on your computer or streaming device. And now that there's no difference, and in some cases, from what I hear, the pirated sites offer a better user experience than the mainstream sites.
Yeah.
You're no longer providing a product that's superior to what, you know, this isn't like some dude filming it on his cell phone and uploading it. Like, it's the same thing. And the other side of it is that in so many instances, especially when you talk about like Crunchyroll and Sony in general, I feel like So many stories come out about them that make you not want to support them.
Yeah.
That you now get this extra class of pirates who feel like they're ethical in their piracy because they're not supporting the evil Crunchyroll company that opens fan mail and removes comments and censors their anime. You're not doing yourselves any favors in catering to the fan base that you had pre-established.
Yeah, it's a messy situation and I don't know where it's going to all shake out. Obviously, there's lots of issues going on in the anime industry right now. And again, we are certainly not encouraging people to go pirate. And if we did, we certainly would tell you, you've got to be really careful about that for a lot of reasons. But, you know, these sites that want to have your firstborn child and your social security number and everything else that they're trying to get, you should probably be very, very careful about that, because I do feel like sometimes in the modern internet, we've almost gone back to where we were in those 2000s where people just downloaded it. Like, well, whatever happens, happens. Like, you know, I'm going to download this song off LimeWire. Like, let me see what I get in addition to this Metallica song, you know,
which isn't really Metallica,
which isn't really actually, Metallica.
As it turns out.
So,
well, I think the what, instead of encouraging people to pirate, which we obviously aren't doing, the encouragement needs to go toward the real companies to just do better.
Yeah.
Like, remember why you're in it. You're providing a service to a fairly rabid fan base. I think as long as you strive to provide them the best possible product, that's the real way to combat piracy.
Well, and I still think, and I don't know when this is going to happen. To some degree, it's already happening a little bit, but it's very small at this point. I think the end game is going to be that the Japanese companies are going to just do it themselves. They're going to hire English speakers in Japan. They're going to localize it in Japan. They probably will stop dubbing it at all. Or if they do, it'll be some sort of either AI or a handful of big shows will they'll license out for dubs. But they'll just start doing translations in Japan and selling it directly to you in either a streaming service or a really expensive physical release that is limited to, you know, like in Japan where you only get like three episodes per volume. It'll be something like that because they'll just decide like, you know what, we just don't need the middleman. We'll just do it ourselves. We'll save money that way. And we can then control the quality of the product so we don't have people looking at us saying, well, why aren't you doing better? Like,
well, I think you've already kind of seen that in gaming because there's been kind of the ongoing battle between the company that makes Genshin Impact and Honkai Star Rail, where they've basically been recasting people because the unions over here are basically like hounding them to basically go union with their games and they don't want to do it. But there was a fairly recent recasting where they casted a voice actor who lives in Japan who speaks English. And obviously a lot of people were upset because a lot of the union people were being let go or just not doing work on it anymore. Because as far from what they say, they need Hoyoverse to basically sign on to some sort of agreement to give them supposed AI protections. But I think it's also kind of a union coercion kind of thing, like no, only hire union people. But there's a lot of back and forth and kind of information on both sides that I think is questionable. But I think that's where we are now, where it's like we don't, there are so many ways to find people who can speak English that we can just bring in, pay them whatever, and get the product to people without having to deal with the extra headaches.
Well, there are a lot of, we've already seen a ton of anime who have used, you know, native English Japanese speakers. You know, someone like Sally Amaki's gotten a lot of work. Obviously she's bilingual. Shu Uchida has gotten a ton of work. The I can't remember the voice actress's name who was in D4DJ. Like her English wasn't great, but like
if you can understand it, that's something.
Yeah, I got the job done. So it's an interesting time as always. And again, please be careful if you're going to go out sailing the high seas. Like there's a lot of stuff out there. You better have a good antivirus. You better have a VPN. You better have, whatever to protect your computer, because if you really need to watch that episode of, you know, whatever, you may pay for it in more than just the dollars and cents. Chris bringing back LimeWire. I think,
Where's Kazaa at? That was another one.
The lesser known pirating.
I mean, can we buy one of those? I mean, Napster just sold again recently.
I don't know if Napster sold for what they sold for. I'm guessing those are out of our budget range here at the Nerdcast,
but probably cheaper. I would imagine.
Yeah, I would hope not in the millions of dollars that sold for, but so again, interesting times. We'll keep you updated because, again, there's almost monthly some sort of piracy story, and I find them fascinating.
I don't think people realize that we're not too far off from them coming after you for it.
Yeah, for sure. And they've certainly been trying for a while, and it'll be challenging for sure to see. You know, they'll get a few, because that's usually how you stop it, is you just go after a few people and you make it a big deal and you make a big announcement. They've done that in the music industry where we're going to charge, you know, Mike $1 million because he was downloading music
per song that he downloaded. Yeah. He downloaded two albums.
Right. So, you know, they that's usually how it goes. And usually that slows it down for a little bit. But people will always be out there looking for ways to make it happen. So we'll certainly keep an eye on it. I think it's time to wrap things up with the Empire Express. You ready to go?
Let's do it.
An announcement that surprised absolutely nobody this week. Rockstar Games announced that Grand Theft Auto 6 will be delayed until May 26, 2026. It was originally announced in December of 2023. Do you think that will be the last delay?
I mean, we're still talking like a year off. Maybe it will see. Like you mentioned, it was originally announced in 2023. Its predecessor, GTA 5, came out in 2013. So it's kind of wild that we're looking at least 13 years later for GTA 6. But, you know, we've seen a lot of high profile, expensive titles bomb over the last few years. So I'm sure, for one, they really want to make sure they nail this. And also, they might be holding out to see if by this time next year, games aren't like $200 retail. So maybe they could charge even more than what they're planning to.
Sure,
so
why not?
So we'll see what happens. Evangelion Wind Symphony is performing 3 North American concerts in 2025. They will be joined by opening theme singer Yoko Takahashi for select parts of the show. Shows are at the end of August in Toronto, Irving, Texas, and Los Angeles. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I love the fact they're doing these. We've seen it with Final Fantasy, where they've brought the orchestra over and did music of Final Fantasy.
Coming up around here.
Yeah, so I think that's great. I wish they would do more of that kind of stuff, and bringing Yoko Takahashi in obviously is really cool as well, to get to hear the opening theme live. Again, is it one of the more, you know, overplayed opening themes? For sure, but still one of the all time greats. If you haven't had the chance to cash in Inuyasha, now you can, as part of 2025's anime month. Pluto TV has launched a 24/7 Inuyasha channel. It's streaming in Japanese with English subtitles. Definitely one show people should catch, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Not a doubt about it. It's certainly not a short show, and the story can kind of drag over the original series, but the characters are amazing, and to me that alone makes the show kind of must see. It looks like the site also has the final act available for streaming, so if you're going to watch the original, you certainly want to watch the final season so you can actually get some finality there. But yeah, I think as huge as kind of that isekai genre is now, I think you'll watch Inuyasha and you'll see that they were doing it pretty well 20 years ago too.
Yep.
Let's see. For fans of the early 2000 shoujo anime series In Search of the Full Moon, Animego has announced, or has exciting announcement this week. They have found the complete English dub to the series. The English dub for episodes 28 through 52 have never been released before. That's got to help sales, right?
Yeah, for sure. And how crazy is that? That they basically just kind of stumbled across an unreleased dub of the rest of the series. And because, you know, odds are, just because it's kind of a license rescue, they probably wouldn't have gone back and redubbed it. They might have released what they already knew they had and then just had a subtitle for the rest, as we've seen that in a few cases. But really cool that if you're a fan of Full Moon or Sagashite, you're going to get a chance to hear the whole thing in English, which it is kind of one of the classic shoujo shows of the early 2000s. Finally, a backstage report out of the recent TNA wrestling taping stated the company is backing away from excessive blood and blading. This is according to PW Insider. The move is to protect the health of wrestlers. While we likely both agree with the move, it certainly won't stop conspiracy theorists that WWE's behind the move, right?
You know, I'm really hoping this also pertains to people jumping off really high things and not being caught by anybody. Yeah. I feel like that's something that needs to be addressed as well. Yeah, I mean, if WWE is behind this in any way, as far as nudging them in this direction, that's awesome. I think a little bit of blood when the feud calls for it can certainly enhance it. But when you're spamming it, it just loses all meaning and kind of makes you a cringy product. So I think if they want to present themselves as being a company that is on par to some degree with WWE, you got to kind of tighten the screws a bit.
Yeah, and you wonder if other companies will lean in the other way to, again, because when something is taken away, you want to offer it somewhere else to kind of do that. We've seen AEW do that to some degree. Obviously, GCW is still out there doing crazy matches, as we saw during WrestleMania weekend. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that news is taken, because there's a lot of guys in that company like Sammy Callahan. And, you know, I think there's a match coming up that's going to air on TNA with Steve Macklin and Eric Young, that evidently is a pretty bloody match. And I don't know if maybe that one got a little out of control and that's where they were like, oh, wait a minute, we need to back off. But again, interesting to see what the reaction is to that. So with that said, that is going to wrap things up for this week's edition. Again, maybe not the best news this week. We certainly like to have a little more positive news, but the news is what the news is. So we share that with you, and we'll certainly keep you updated on all those stories. And hopefully when we return in a little over a week's time, we'll have some more positive news. And the big thing is, when we come back, which will be a week from Monday, we're going to be reviewing Sonic Temple. again, should be a really great event coming up next weekend in Columbus. We encourage you. I think there are still tickets available out there for that. And I know a lot of the TV and radio stations are doing giveaways in the Cincinnati area, probably the Columbus area as well. So if you'd like to go, there are some opportunities to still do that. And the lineups, of course, you can see online. Really good stuff. We'll talk more about Sonic Temple tomorrow night on the Hard Rock Empire, 7 p.m. Eastern time. We'll get Mike's thoughts on some of the bands. Obviously, the big bands we know. Some of the smaller bands, maybe you don't know. Mike can give you an idea about what you're going to expect out of some of them. So that'll be coming up tomorrow night. Plus, we'll have the latest music releases to talk about coming up tomorrow night as well. I think April 18th we're up to, right? We had two episodes last week. So April 18th music we'll be talking about tomorrow night. Big thanks to Stove Leg Media for their continued support. Big thanks to everybody for joining us live. Chris and, you know, we got Uncut Mick in the YouTube chat. Welcome. We appreciate it. Totally get your opinions there for sure. But, you know, we really appreciate everybody joining us, whether you join us live or you join us on the VOD. It is much appreciated. We'll be back again tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern time, for another episode of the Hard Rock Empire. Until then, don't forget to join the Empire, the Nerdcast Empire.